What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. You're in for a fun one today as we are still previewing each one of our football programs as we approach the 2025 season. Today, we are talking the Liberty Flames. And joining me on set today, we have a very special guest, Jess Radford, joining us today in place of Josh Yonas. Josh is now in Canada. We've been talking about it for several weeks, taking his last minute vacation before football season gets underway next week, by the way. Football season gets underway for us next week. So, yes, Jess, thank you for joining us. We are excited to talk about the Flames today.
I mean, an exciting program, especially what they've been doing since they've came into Conference USA. So we're really excited to see what year three brings for them.
Yes, we will see. And here to talk about Liberty with us, we have Bryson Gordon, sports reporter for the Liberty News in Advance, the Lynchburg News in Advance. Hey, it was close. Bryson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. I did this last year. It was a lot of fun. So I think thanks for having me back.
Yes, absolutely. Happy to have you back, Bryson. And my first question for you, year four for the Flames under Jamie Chadwell, coming into their third full season here in Conference USA. What can we expect high level out of this Liberty program this year? Obviously, last year didn't quite end how they wanted to. 2023 ended in a Conference USA championship in their first year in the league. So what can we expect out of year three with Conference USA with the Flames?
Yeah, you can expect, if you've gotten accustomed to watching Liberty in the last 2 years in Conference USA, you can expect none of those guys, pretty much none of those guys to be here, except for Coach Chadwell. Obviously, like you mentioned, he's still around. But that's kind of common for college football these days, you know, to have so much of that turnover and that transfer portal activity. But here at Liberty, you know, it's kind of especially, you know, you mentioned the familiar faces at quarterback. You know, Caden Salter has been there. Quentin Cooley's there. They're both gone. Familiar faces on the defense, TJ Bush, who was all-conference performer, you know, his freshman year, had a little bit of a down year last year, but still very talented. You know, he's transferred out also. So you can expect a pretty much new look Liberty team. I mean, they have some anchors on the offensive line who are there. They have some anchors in the back end of the defense that are still there. But, you know, overall at the key spots, you're going to be learning a lot of new names with this Liberty team. You're going to be learning a new quarterback, learning new running backs, not just one, but probably three, four, maybe even five. Whenever, you know, you sit down and watch, you know, Liberty play football, they're throwing to all different kinds of backs, different styles of backs. So you'll see a lot of that. And on defense, I think you're going to see, you know, potentially one of Conference USA's better defenses. We talked about Louisiana Tech all year last year, how great they were. I think Liberty might be able to challenge them for the crown and on the defensive side this year.
All right. Well, you mentioned it, so let's just go ahead and get into it. Quarterbacks, new quarterback this year for the Flames. That is for sure. Caden Salter transferred out of the program and is now with Coach Prime at Colorado. So who are we looking at as front runners? You put out an article last week and the title is "No Separation Among QB Competition," says Coach Chadwell. So tell me a little bit about what you are seeing at camp. I know you've been out there and what you're thinking, obviously key transfers in for the Flames over the past couple of years. Just tell me a little bit about what you're seeing at the QB position.
Yeah, you've seen, a lot of new faces. There's only one guy on this team who has significant playing experience at Liberty. That's Ryan Berger, the quarterback who started the Bahamas Bowl game last year. So if you turned on that game, you actually saw a little bit of what you'll see this year. A lot of new faces. Juju Gray is a wide receiver who stepped to running back, but it was kind of like that. And Ryan Berger was the guy who actually started under center for the Flames that day. So he's back. You know, he's kind of battling for the quarterback position. He missed a lot of spring, and so his, you know, position in the quarterback competition is a little bit on the outs. But there are some guys that they're really excited about. Ethan Vasco, a Coastal Carolina transfer, had a, you know, pretty good year last year. I think he was the primary starter there. I want to say, you know, started all 11 or 12 games for them. So he was very important. He's a little bit like Caden Salter, not in the sense that he's anywhere near as dynamic, but he plays a dual threat style. He runs the ball. He also, you know, is a decent passer. I would put him, you know, a little bit below where Salter was passing wise, but I think, you know, he has the potential to really break out, especially if there are some better receivers. And then you go down the depth chart at quarterback and you have some question marks. Michael Mertinger is another guy who transferred in this offseason from North Carolina. And coaches love him. I mean, they talk about his leadership, you know, intangibles that are really high quality. And it's coming from a team last year that kind of struggled in that department. I mean, I don't think there's been a shortage of, you know, Coach Chadwell and other players. Anytime they're in front of a microphone, whether that was at Conference USA Media Day a few weeks ago or, you know, here during fall camp, they're always talking about, you know, this really impressive, you know, team environment that they've built in the absence of, you know, some guys that transferred or left after last year's team. I think if you watch them, there was a little bit of a disconnect with the team last year. it seems that there's not that this year. And obviously it's camp. It's not quite hot here in Lynchburg. So, you know, the tensions aren't super high yet. Give them a week or two of the schedule, and then we'll see how that changes. But there's so many question marks. Like I said, Mertinger, guys on the depth chart that was here last year that didn't play, Jaden Bradford, a former three-star freshman quarterback from IMG Academy. He's still in the quarterback competition. Ethan Houck is a highly touted freshman that kind of blew up after he committed to Liberty. The coaches love him as well. They think he might be the answer, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line if they can get him to stick around in Lynchburg, you know, with the transfer portal. But at quarterback overall, you know, we're seeing a pretty healthy battle. Coaches talked the first 2 weeks of camp. They just finished their second full week. About, you know, this is going to be the time where they really cut it down to 2 or 3 guys. And I think that if they're cutting it down to their 2 or 3 guys, you're probably looking at, you know, Michael Mertinger, Ethan Vasco, and Ryan Berger as the 3 guys who most likely would start for Liberty this year. And I think, you know, with these last 2 weeks of camp, it's going to be a push. Coach says there's no separation. You got to believe him. You got to listen to the coach speak this time of year. But I'm sure that he's really honed in and started to circle his guy. And I'm sure he's going to have to start feeling good about it here pretty soon.
You talk about how it's newcomers, 38 newcomers. And you talked a little bit about the team chemistry last year. So what is Coach Chadwell doing this year to just build that team chemistry with all these newcomers in practice, outside of practice, in the locker room? Just go in depth about that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of, I don't want to say he was being unfair last year, but when you look at the roster, I mean, obviously they were coming off of a Fiesta Bowl appearance. They were 13-1, a really high quality football team 2 years ago. They brought a lot of those pieces back last year, which leads into there not being a lot of fall competition, not a lot of spring competition, right? Caden Salter walked into the starting quarterback job. Quentin Cooley walked into the starting running back job. The offensive line was mostly together. The defense was mostly together. There wasn't that, you know, push and pull that you really get in fall camp where the team gets closer. I think, you know, just kind of throughout the year, there was an assumption that everybody had their jobs, everybody had their roles. And if somebody was going to challenge you for your role, maybe you were going to look at them a little sideways if they were stepping up to challenge somebody that was a little bit more established on the roster. And there's been, you know, none of that this year. I think, you know, Coach Chadwell said it back at Media Day. Like I said, you know, he's very adamant on their word of the year is earn. You know, they're going to make everybody earn everything. And I think that's where this kind of competition starts at the quarterback position. We talk a little bit about Ethan Vasco, and you would assume that a guy with 12 starts last year would come right in and be the starting quarterback wherever he goes, especially, you know, a place like Coastal Carolina. That's a pretty decent, you know, group of 5, group of 6 team. That's not necessarily the case here at Liberty. I think Coach Chadwell really wants to, you know, put that competition in. And while it may sound counterintuitive to have, you know, competition bringing guys closer, I think when there's an openness to it this year, as opposed to what it felt like last year, when there's an openness to, I have to earn my job and, you know, everybody else is coming for what I have, I think it makes everybody better top to bottom, not just from the aspect of you're getting better because you're competing against people. You're going to bond. I mean, these guys are teammates, right? Fall camp stinks. It's hard. Usually it's hot. Like I said, it's mid-80s here in Lynchburg these days. But this is the time of year where I think you get close. And I think the competition that they have nearly every position except for, you know, tight end is probably the tight end and the safety position are the two areas where they're not really going to have a whole lot of competition. And I think that's what's really amplifying this environment around them. That seems like they have a little bit of a better team this year.
Mid-80s sounds nice, doesn't it, Jessica?
Oh, my gosh. So
I shouldn't complain.
Bryson's just rubbing it in up there.
We're over here sweating, okay?
It could be worse. You could be Louisiana Tech down in Ruston on turf practicing in, like, 100-degree weather. So that's
I would find a shady spot at camp there.
Yeah, that's rough. Going back to what you're talking about with the competitions that are taking place there on the field during camp, trying to figure out who starters are going to be, what the roster makeup is going to look like. You mentioned before that quarterback's all new. We've talked about that. Running backs as well is going to be a lot different this year. Can you tell us a little bit about what the running back room is looking like? Who should we be keeping an eye on? And then any other positions that you've been witnessing a competition in that we need to just keep an eye out for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think running back is probably the chief among all those battles because you think about how Liberty plays. I mean, quarterback is going to steal all the headlines. That's where everybody thinks about. That's the face of the team. But running back for Liberty is kind of it's the bread and butter of their team. It's not necessarily the face, but it's where they get their most of their yardage. Quentin Cooley was that guy the last 2 years. And even last year, Billy Lucas, he kind of flew under the radar as a really good running back option for the Flames. But I think he almost had 800 yards at the end of the season. You look up, he just kind of chipping off the yardage as the season went along. As I mentioned, both of those guys are gone. They've graduated. It's time for new faces. I think fortunately, if you're a Liberty fan, there's a little bit more familiarity at running back. But like at other positions, there's still question marks. I mean, Vaughn Blue is in his third season here at Liberty. We've heard of him. You know, he scored in his first game in college. It was actually a receiving touchdown against Bowling Green. He didn't score again up until last year, midway through the year, and he finally got a rushing touchdown. And so he's going to be the primary running back for this team. He didn't take a whole lot of carries over the last 2 years because of guys like, Quinn Cooley and Billy Lucas. And there was a thought initially during Blue's freshman year that he would kind of ascend and be, you know, the primary running back for a couple years to come. Well, now's his time. I think he really needs to grab that and take a hold of it. And because of the way Liberty plays, right, they run a two-back style. It's an A-back and a B-back. A-back is typically, last year it was Quinn Cooley and Billy Lucas. This year it's going to be Vaughn Blue and Juju Gray. Juju Gray is a wide receiver. So if you watch the Flames last year, he was probably, when he was healthy, he might have been their most explosive weapon overall. I think, you know, in the punt return game, he was huge. In the kick return game, he was huge. At wide receivers, which is where his home was last year against Middle Tennessee, he had a really big game. But because of the transfers at running back and the losses to Quinn Cooley and Lucas to graduation, they've made him a running back full-time now. So you think about the speed that he has, it's going to be different. He's put on about 15 pounds of muscle, 10, 15 pounds. So it might be a little bit slower, but I think he's somebody to look out for in that speedy role. I think 2 years ago when you watched Liberty, Aaron Bedgood was a name who he was huge. He took a huge carry for them in the Fiesta Bowl, probably, I think, 30 yards on the first play from scrimmage. He's going to kind of play a little bit of that role, like a toolsy utility player in the backfield. And then also a running back that has Georgia Tech transfer, Evan Dickens. They have highly touted freshman Malachi Finn and Render, who coaches have, you know, gushed over this kid. He's small. I think he's 5'8", and that's probably a little bit generous, but he's, you know, a mountain of a kid. And he runs down in the spring game. He had a huge, you know, 40-yard run. And so that's when I think fans and the media at least took notice of kind of who this freshman is. So they're really excited about the running back room. There's question marks, but I think they're excited about the talent that they've cultivated and put together, and then they can kind of just figure it out from there. Elsewhere, I think offensive line is an important, you know, position when you talk about the run game in general. Aaron Fenimore, we've heard a lot about him over the last year. He was a freshman All-American for the Flames last year, but he's really truly the only big-time anchor they have left. There are some pieces who have played. Harry Hayes has played a lot here. So he's coming back. DJ Geth played a little bit last year. He's coming back at the guard position for Liberty. But there's going to be some competition on the edges on the offensive line that I would keep an eye on. And then just to change quickly to the defensive line, we talk about transfers. I mean, no bigger transfer, even aside from a guy like Caden Salter last year, was TJ Bush, who's out at California now. And the loss of a guy like that on the defensive end is huge. Not only, you know, was he really good from a sack perspective, but he was really good in the run game. And his numbers kind of tailed off as the year went on last year. But I think overall, he's somebody who defenses had to respect, and you had to fear him, and you had to put him on a scouting report. He was first on the scouting report, in my opinion. And they don't quite have that guy at defensive end this year. And so with some transfers, Aaron Hester is one, G.J. Jackson from North Carolina State. There's a little bit of familiarity on the defensive line, but figuring out where the pieces fit and this competition through through fall that seems kind of robust at defensive line is probably the biggest one on the defensive side of the ball that I'd be watching.
Awesome. Well, I am super excited to see what the makeup of the team looks like this year. You mentioned tons of newcomers on the playing field, but one thing that Jamie Chadwell did on this offseason is he made barely any changes, if any, there may have been none, to his coaching staff, which I think, you know, that brings a lot of consistency into 2025. Has he talked about that at all in any press conferences or any thing that you've watched? I know I asked him this question at Media Day, but what does the consistency with the coaching staff do for a team, bringing them together getting them ready to compete this season?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you have pretty decent coaches, right? We've seen the success that this program has had. And so to be able to keep guys here, not let them get off to bigger schools or get off to bigger coordinator jobs, I think that's really key. And Chadwell has kind of been the same guy. You know, he's had a lot of the same staff back to his time at Coastal. He's pretty loyal to his group. It's not anything that he's spoken, you know, necessarily about this year, but I think he does feel good about the, you know, where his coaching staff is as far as where guys are placed right now. Last year, there was a little bit of a coaching, I wouldn't say coaching change, but there were some question marks and some confusion about who was calling plays at the top of the defense. There were co-defensive coordinators with Kyle Krantz and Skylar McGee. They've maintained the co-titles this year, but I think Krantz has kind of stepped forward as the primary, you know, play caller on defense, the primary defensive coordinator. And he's also, you know, somebody who I think in the past has coached special teams. I think they really like what he brings to the team from an overall coaching perspective. And as I mentioned, Chadwell is very loyal to his guys. We know his offensive coordinator, Willie Korn, has been with them for quite some time now, and their offensive style is exciting. I mean, whenever he has the right pieces, I think that those two guys can cook up an offense that Doesn't necessarily look like football in 2025. They're not throwing the ball 50 times a game. They're playing a little bit different, but I think they're really excited about the offense they can always put together. And I think the biggest change this year seems to be Dylan Llewellyn is a new special teams coordinator for them. And that kind of is the role that Krantz was, you know, taking a little bit of last year as well. So I think kind of overall, he feels really good about this coaching staff. We heard a lot of the rumors in the offseason about a coaching change for Chadwell himself. But, you know, he seems to be here, seems to be really bought into this program. And I'm starting to build for the future. I mean, you look at the roster, there's so many pieces, right? Quarterback, there's three guys on the team that are options 2-3 years down the road. Running back, there's a couple options that might be, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. And that receiver, it feels like they're starting to, you know, get some of that talent after a down year at that position last year. And so I think you're starting to see a Liberty program that's taken on the identity of Coach Chadwell here. After, you know, Hugh Freeze has been gone for a few years now, and it's really starting to turn into Coach Chadwell's program. I think pretty much every player left here, except for, you know, there are a few exceptions, pretty much every player left here was recruited by him. So this is his team, and you're really going to start to see his vision for the program, especially, you know, with all of his coaches still on board. You're really going to start to see it come together, I think, this year. You know, this is typically a time when it happens for a coach.
As we get into the conversation of schedule.
Yes.
We talked about team. We talked about the coaching staff. I just want to know, what are you most excited about? And that can be anything from the team or from the schedule for this year.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think the games are good. I mean, look, you know, we cover Conference USA on a week-to-week basis. We hear what people say about the league. The league has incredible games, like, right off the rip this year. I mean, Liberty, they get Maine on August 30th, which will be a little bit of, I don't want to say a warm-up game. It's an FCS game. We'll say it that way. But then in week two, right, they go to the defending league champion, Jacksonville State. That's going to be a marquee game, not just for Jacksonville State, but really for Liberty. I mean, everything they went through last year was to get back to the Conference USA championship game. They were so close in that regular season finale against Sam Houston. They just needed that 2-point conversion to, you know, complete the comeback there in that specific game. And it went, you know, weeks before that, they were really having to win every single week to get back to that spot. But this year, I think setting the tone with that Jacksonville State game early on, we're really going to see what they have, against some of Conference USA's top teams right away. And that, you know, that game is going to be September 6th, but we're going to be looking back on it, in my opinion. You know, we're going to be looking back on it in the first week of December, like, and, you know, Liberty, maybe they're, you know, right there on the championship game border again. Maybe Jacksonville State is that team that's on the border this year, and that game might be huge. So I'm super excited about that game. And then stepping out of conference play, you know, Liberty has a monumental game against James Madison on September 20th. You want to talk about conference bragging rights. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that other conference on this podcast. It might get me kicked off, maybe not invited.
It's fine.
Next year,
it's fine.
But that conference that JMU is in, I'm sure it'd be huge for Conference USA to get a marquee win over a team like JMU, who's probably, you know, I think everywhere you look has them winning that conference. And so I think that would be a huge game for both leagues. And I think Liberty getting that at home is definitely a huge advantage. It's just a short trip up the road, like 90 minutes, and it'll be rocking that night. But I think it's going to be a huge game for both leagues.
Yeah, for sure. When I look at the schedule outside of conference play, you do look at that game against JMU. You look at the game against Old Dominion, too. Those are two in-state, I would say rivalries, but they are, you know, they're in-state games. You should expect a lot of fans at both of those games. Obviously, you guys get JMU at home, away at Old Dominion. So I think that those, and they're back-to-back weekends. So I think that those are going to be, you know, some real tests for the Flames as they get into the rest of the season. But so glad you mentioned that early game against Jack State. Obviously, that is one that we have circled here as well at the conference office. A week two conference matchup. We have a week zero conference matchup next week, which is just wild, but getting some out of the way early. But looking at the rest of the conference slate for Liberty, Jess and our producer Dane and I, we were talking about it before we got on here. Absolutely a winnable schedule for Liberty this year. People are high on the Flames, think you guys could be really great this year. And you take a look at their conference schedule and it just makes you think that much more of the Flames as you look at their full schedule. So you're away at UTEP, which, don't get me wrong, Sun Bowl is a tough place to play. But, you know, year two under Scotty Walden, do they have all of their pieces in place this year? I don't know. We actually have that preview coming up later this week. So maybe we'll learn a few things after this week. But you got New Mexico State, newcomers Delaware, and newcomers Missouri State back to back to back. 3-game homestand. So that is incredible for you guys getting all of those games in Lynchburg. And then away at FIU, away at Louisiana Tech, and then home at Kennesaw State to end out the conference season. Any of those games sticking out in your mind as, besides the Jacksonville State game, which we kind of already talked about, but any of those games sticking out in your mind as games, you know, that the Flames really need to get over the hump to hopefully have a chance to be in that conference championship again at the end of the season?
Yeah, I would point right to Louisiana Tech, and I think there's been some buzz here early in the preseason about the excitement for them. It seems like a season that Coach Sonny Cumbie needs to start winning and start putting together maybe a bowl game, maybe even a Conference USA Championship game appearance. I mentioned their defense off the top. I think my opinion, they were the class of Conference USA defensively last year, maybe even the class of G5. I think they played some really good teams and they kept pretty much all of them in check. Especially think about some of the teams in Conference USA that they kept in check that not even Liberty could at some point. So I think that game is going to be huge, not only from a scheduling perspective, right? It's the next to last game. It's Liberty's last road game, but it's going to be huge from in my opinion, overall conference schedule. Yeah, just to be completely transparent with you, I picked Louisiana Tech to finish second behind Liberty in Conference USA. So I think that might be a championship game preview 2 weeks ahead of time. We'll see. But I think with the defense that Louisiana Tech they present and the defense that Liberty's kind of put together and bringing in coming into this year with, I think we might be looking at a rock fight that day. We might be looking at a Big Ten matchup, maybe like 14-10, depending on what Liberty's quarterback situation is like. But that could be a really fun game. And I think for Conference USA Championship stakes, I mean, I haven't given a complete look at everybody's schedule, but I can't imagine many games having a bigger impact than those two. Because I think, like I mentioned, Louisiana Tech's really got to get on the gas this year. And I think they have a great team. They have a quarterback, I think, that they figure can do it. So that would be a very huge game for both teams. And as you mentioned, the schedule, just so I don't mention it, like Liberty doesn't get Western Kentucky. They don't have to play Middle Tennessee. They don't play Sam Houston. Those are huge breaks for a team that you look at a schedule already, and some people say it's already pretty generous, but then to not have to play those three teams, it's a huge break for them. And so I think you circle the Louisiana Tech game as the biggest in the back half for sure.
I was hoping you'd say that. That's the one I have circled too. We did our Louisiana Tech preview. I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but after that, I was like, man, I'm high on the Bulldogs. Like, this could be a really good year for them. And then FIU, too. I think they're going to be a lot better this year than they have been in years past. Preseason offensive player of the year was Kiwan Jenkins, their quarterback. And so who knows what those last two games, away games of the Conference USA slate for the Flames will look like coming down to that season. Obviously, can't get past game one. Got to get through game one and win that one. But as you mentioned, that's FCS game to start it off and then heading into conference play week two. So it's going to be an interesting year, I think, for the Flames. Sure.
And Bryson, if it is Liberty and Louisiana Tech 1 and 2, we'll have to get you back on here because you predicted it.
That'd be fun. That's what I'm calling this year. Now if Louisiana Tech is 1 and Liberty's 2, I want to at least get some credit for having the championship matchup. I understand. I'll still be wrong.
That's all right. That's fine.
I think that's the hard part. Picking the two teams. That's harder than picking the winner, in my opinion, is picking the two teams. Because last year, who would have picked? With all due respect, who would
I
have
did.
Picked? Did you? All right. I'll stop there. I won't make any more of a fool out of myself.
I know. I'm not sure many other people had it, but early in the season, I made a prediction, and I guess it wasn't too early. Like early October, I did. I made that prediction, and I ended up being right.
That's early enough. I mean, considering where those teams were, I mean, everybody had Liberty in, right? I think if you didn't pick Liberty, it was kind of an upset last year, at least to make the game, maybe not to win the league. But yeah, I mean, and just one more game, just because we're on it. I mean, the Kennesaw State game, the last game of the regular season, that's a team that didn't lose any last year. I mean, you can't even put that, you can't even put that one aside, even though it's in Lynchburg. Kennesaw's a lot different this year. Like, any given Saturday is really true in Conference USA, maybe even any given Wednesday, because Liberty lost to Kennesaw, midweek last year. But I think it's going to be fascinating. And because of the situation with Liberty's quarterbacks and, a lot of the question marks they have, I think it's going to lend to some more interesting games for them overall.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited for the season. That's for sure. Getting excited for all of our teams to get on the field. But every single time we finish one of these previews, I'm like ready to run through a wall for the team that we just talked about. So right now, obviously on the Flames. But I think my final question for you before I ask a more personal question, I guess, would be anyone else that we need to be on the lookout for that maybe we haven't talked about yet? Anyone that you said you mentioned you're going to camp later today. Anything that you're keeping a particularly keen eye on as we head into the rest of fall camp about to start the season?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be a good reporter if I was keeping an eye on quarterbacks. So I'm going there and going to go take an eye on the quarterback as soon as I get there. But I think there are some really interesting pieces elsewhere on the team. We didn't even mention Brylan Green, who 2 years ago felt like he put on the daggum Joker mask like every other week for that team. And I think he'll probably do a little bit more than he did last year. He had a down year in the interceptions department last year, was hurt a little bit in the middle of the season battling a concussion. But he's back. He's 100%. He's going to factor into the punt game and the kick game. As well as be a primary safety for Liberty. His running mate at safety is a Corey Jones. And speaking of people who fly under the radar, this guy played the most snaps of any player for Liberty on defense last year. Even beside, you know, a guy like Brylan Green, even beside guys like TJ Bush, Joseph Carter, who led the Flames in tackles. But Corey Jones is a really high, you know, very, you know, high quality player for Liberty that kind of goes under the radar just because they had so much name recognition. But because some of those names have transferred, right? TJ Bush is gone. Jay Hardy, another guy who transferred back to Auburn. I think Corey Jones is primed for a step up in the secondary. Coaches really talk about, you know, his intangibles as well. I think the back end of Liberty's defense, highlighted by him and Brylan Green, is going to be one of the best in Conference USA. And then just to give Joseph Carter a shout out, stepping up to the linebacker level, he leads that room. He was a leading tackler. I think he had 30 more tackles than anybody else on the team last year. Just a complete, you know, dominant figure in the heart of the defense. And he used to be a walk-on. So he's gone from being a walk-on to being a fifth-year senior here at Liberty. Stayed all 5 years, kind of the opposite of everything that college football is about these days, is who Joseph Carter is. And he's changed numbers. He's put on the seat, going to put on the C on his jersey as a captain this year. There's so much about him that's exciting. If you're really looking for a good story at Liberty, I think Joseph Carter kind of leads the way. And he's going to lead the defense, like I mentioned, lead a defense that they really hope can keep them, you know, in a lot of games as they figure out the pieces at quarterback and running back this year.
All right. I was wondering when Joseph Carter's name was going to come up, so I'm glad you mentioned him.
Couldn't leave him out.
I mentioned the Joker mask. Absolutely love that thing.
Yes.
All those pictures, fire.
You guys need to get one for your background.
We really should. That's smart. I'm going to ask for that. All right, Todd Wetmore, if you're watching this, I need one of those. That's what we need for this set. All right, final question here for you, Bryce. And we like to ask, I know I asked you this last year, I'm pretty sure, but we like to ask all of our beat reporters, writers, people who cover the teams when they get on this show, how you got your start covering the team or how long that you've been wherever you're at and why you love to do it so much.
Yeah, my path is crazy. I actually started at the News in Advance in 2021 covering Campbell County Board of Supervisors. So that is a very small county here right outside Lynchburg, Virginia. And I would go to board meetings on a constant basis and sit there. And so I turned from that into a city council reporter here covering the city of Lynchburg. And I went to University of North Carolina, Greensboro. So always been a big fan of sports. Grew up in a huge sports household. You see a Panthers football right there. A lot of Red Sox stuff around, all out of the camera. Try to keep a little bit of that down. But I ended up in the News in Advance about a handful of years ago. Moved over to being a city council reporter. And then I stepped away for a little bit. I worked another job. And then they had an opening for a sports reporter. And I thought it was a perfect fit to come back. It's what I've always wanted to do. And so I started covering Liberty and local sports kind of full time in March 2024. So it's been a little bit over a year, but this is my second full season on the beat. I'm very familiar with Liberty, just kind of in general, living here for the last handful of years and, you know, being familiar with them growing up, not too far away. I'm from about 90 minutes down the highway. And so always been a little bit familiar. It's really exciting. I think, you know, from a college football perspective, there's not many group of five programs that really, you know, are here on a year-to-year basis like Liberty is, at least in the last few years. And so it gives a little bit of a feel whenever they're winning, at least, of it being a, you know, a high major beat. And so I think it's exciting. And I think it's a really good spot, you know, in general, Conference USA for a lot of us reporters. So like, I'm relatively new to this. I feel like it's a good spot for us to cut our teeth on. And I think this group, this conference has a bunch of great reporters. And I talked to some guys that cover New Mexico State and, you know, even Missouri State has some good reporters coming in. And so I think, you know, overall, hopefully the fans of the league get a pretty good mix out of the stories that we put out there. But I love it. It's so much fun. I think the most fun thing to cover is football season, especially here at Liberty too, you know, with how exciting the fans are and all that kind of stuff.
For sure. Where can we follow you on social media so that all these Liberty fans or other Conference USA fans that are just looking for Liberty info can get some news from you, Bryson?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Bryson Gordon. You'll see all kinds of Liberty stuff. You'll see a little bit of local Lynchburg stuff, and you'll see some, like I said, some Red Sox stuff. So if you don't like that, you can mute me on that.
Nice. We won't hold it too much against you for being a Sox fan. We'll get over that. We're mostly Texas Ranger fans in this office, although there are some other people from transfers in, like Jessica's from Detroit, so.
I could really care less about the Rangers.
There we go.
That's funny. All right, Bryson, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck the rest of the way. I know that it is tough on the guys on the field, tough on the coaching staff, but it's tough on the beat writers too, okay? We're going to give you your due here. So good luck the rest of the season. Get some sleep before the first week gets underway, and we will maybe be talking to you later in the season.
Let's do it. Hopefully we will. Hopefully it'll be a good Conference USA year, and maybe we'll even get some surprises like we did last year, I think.
We will see. All right, Bryson, thanks so much.
Yep, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Flames fans, stick around for my interview from CUSA kickoff with head coach Jamie Chadwell, offensive lineman Aaron Fenimore, and defensive back Brylan Green. Welcome back to another segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are live here at the 2025 Conference USA football kickoff here in Frisco, Texas, at the PGA of America headquarters. And we've got the Liberty Flames in the house with us today. Coach Jamie Chadwell, Brylan Green, and Aaron Fenimore. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We're going to talk a little bit of ball, but we're going to talk about some fun stuff too. So I hope you're ready for it.
Here we go.
All right. Well, first question, hopefully it's a little bit of a softball question, but you guys are about to start camp. Things are ramping up for the 2025 season. Can you tell me a little bit about what's been talked about in the locker room leading up to this moment? What are you guys looking forward to going into 2025?
I think for me personally, the biggest thing is just making sure that the team is a family. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is making sure that everybody's on one accord. And I think all the chips will align where they fall once we do that.
Yeah, like Brylan said, I think the big thing is being connected as a football team and having that bond with each other and being able to play with each other and understand where, you know, guys are coming from and how you can relate to them.
Coach, what about you guys from the coach's side? Is there a certain motto or anything that you're preaching going into this season?
They mentioned the connection piece. I think that was the maybe some missing from us last year. And we had a talented team, and so that's a big deal. We talk all the time. Our mantra is a strike to stone, and so I want our guys to, no matter what happens, no matter what adversity we face, that we just keep believing in each other, keep fighting for each other, keep striking is sort of the model thing that we talk through. And if we'll do that, I think we've got plenty enough talent in our team to have a special year. I think our word for this year is earn, and we feel like we have the opportunity to earn a championship. And so that's what we're going to do every day.
So you mentioned, you know, maybe the camaraderie on the team wasn't quite where it needed to be last year. You guys brought a lot of new guys in, but you haven't made any changes to your coaching staff. Correct me if I'm wrong. Where do you think that consistency on the coaching side will lend in a positive direction for you this year?
Well, I think when you have consistency there and continuity, it builds trust, you know, and to have any type of relationship with players, you got to have trust. And I believe I won't speak for them, but I believe what they have noticed that, hey, there's trust among coaches and there's trust among players because of that consistency. Anytime you have a relationship, if you can have trust, you build trust through consistency. And having consistent coaches, consistent voice, that helps them build that relationship with us and build that trust. And then when we bring new people in, they can say, hey, yeah, they'll do what they say because I've seen it for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's what I hope they say anyway.
Yeah. But, well, let's give him a chance. Give him a chance to tell you. Is he right?
Yeah, he definitely is right, man. I think even the young guys, I think they also start to step into a leadership role as well, just trying to make sure that those guys are, because they are the face of the program as we leave. So I think just making sure that they also are getting into that leadership role and getting them prepared for what's next in the future. I think that's what we've done a good job of, and I think we're going to keep doing.
Anything to add
here? Yeah, I think what you see is what you get, and that's a good thing, because there's no saying one thing, doing the other. And that's something that I know as players you appreciate, is when your coach says, all right, this is how we're going to do it. That's the standard across the board. And when you get new guys coming in, whether they're high school kids or, you know, transfer guys, it's like, look, this is how we do things. This is the standard we're going to play at, or we're going to train at. And that carries over. And that's from Coach Chadwell.
Awesome. Obviously, you guys have been in the league for a few years now. But if there's something that you can maybe tell other fan bases that may be visiting Lynchburg, or other student athletes even from other schools that are visiting to play you guys at home for the first time, is there something that they can look forward to, a tradition or, you know, just the feeling in the stadium? What do you guys love about it that you want to share?
For me, I think our fan base, especially at the G5 level, is second to none. I think that they come out and show out even on the weekday games. I think they've come in and done their best to do what they have to do and being that 12th man on the field. But the fan of flames first down thing, that's a good one. That's a really good one. So any opponents that y'all hear that mean y'all must not be doing something right. So
yeah, the fan of flames with the first downs. Yeah, my favorite's fourth quarter.
Don't stop believing. Yeah,
especially at night when they got the lights flashing, and you know everybody's got their. It's awesome. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw it, I just did a 360. I was like, "Wow,
yeah,
that's awesome. That gets rocking."
You guys hosted a Conference USA championship. That was really cool to see. That was my favorite too. Yeah, the first quarter blackout with the lights. Coach Chadwell, do you have anything that you particularly love?
The Flames quarter. He called it the fourth quarter. It's the Flames quarter. He messed up. The Flames quarter is pretty. You know, when you've been at other places and you've not experienced things of that nature, you appreciate it. So I appreciate it every time because our fans do show up no matter what the situation, no matter the circumstance. They do care. And I would tell anybody that's coming into town that it's a good fan base. It's a great place to watch a game. You can bring family to watch the game. And if you're traveling in and you're going to see good ball because obviously the league is good. But it's fun to be part of when you're in a stadium and players, I know they appreciate it, that you know it's going to be a lot of people there and they care about their team and they cheer for their team. I mean, it wants you to play. You want to play harder and you want to coach harder for them because they do care. And so it's a great home field advantage for us.
So you guys have been in Conference USA. You're going into your third mm-hmm. season here with the league. But as college athletics continues to change, our league continues to change as well. Obviously, welcoming two new members this year. But what can you say about playing in Conference USA, the level of competition, and what people can expect out of this league as a whole this year and how Liberty fits into that?
Well, I think, if you over the last couple of years, since our year's in it, I mean, you can see anybody has a chance to win a game. I think there's good coaches, there's good support, there's good players, especially the skilled people. There's really good skilled people in all places. And so I think anytime you go somewhere, all the places are unique. They have their own little challenges to play at, whether you have to stay far away or whether the locker rooms are small. There's all the little unique things that the conference has that I think makes the experiences worthwhile. But it's every week you have to show up and be ready to go. And the new teams coming in, if you learn from our past, any teams have had success as they transitioned up. They typically have a chance to have success early because yep. they have continuity. I think the teams that have continuity have the best chance to be successful because you lose so many players all the time, And I was telling one of the coaches the other day, you better enjoy it for a year or two because you're going to be gone here soon, because as soon as they find out you got some good ones, they're going to be leaving. And so, I think our conference is, I think it's underrated nationally. I think there's some good teams that can play. And if you look at just records of versus other conferences, other G6 conferences, I mean, we've held our own, we've won some big ones. And so I think our conference is continuing to get better and better every year. And, and I won't speak for them, but we expect to have the opportunity to compete for a championship. And I think we have championship players there. I think we have championship commitment. Now we have to go earn that, first year we did that. Second year we took that for granted, and you hope as a coach, you hope your players don't take for granted the opportunity to play the sport of football. In today's world, there's so many things they can get from it. And you can put those things you get from it on a pedestal more so than you can the game. I think I learned that last year. I think we put some things on the pedestal that were more material based than team based. And so if this group of guys will play together, I like our opportunity to have a really good year.
Appreciate the very candid answer. I do appreciate that. So guys, do you guys from a student athlete perspective have anything to add to that?
Yeah, like he said, just the traveling and like you said, the different locker rooms and stuff like that, that makes it unique. But I think also just the diversity of the style of play that we have in our conference is very, very unique. And you don't know what you're getting every week. So just playing these different teams and just seeing different looks and stuff like that is very difficult. And I think that is something that makes our league one of the best.
Yeah, the big thing could be the travel, traveling across multiple time zones, that throws a wrench into plans. But like Brylan said, everybody kind of does something a little different. So each week when you play in conference, you're preparing a little different for, how this team schemes things or how this team handles things. And that's a challenge that can arise, and you got to handle it as a ball team.
For sure. Not to mention, sometimes you play games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Great mm-hmm. for national recognition. Mm-hmm. Tough to the player to coach aside sometimes, I know, but. You got those games on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU. It's nice to have that nationally televised games. And it does get the CUSA name out there and a brand of football. All right, I'm flipping over to some more fun questions now. So our fan bases always love it when I ask these type of questions because they get a little peek into what your locker room is like. So, and you're welcome to answer this question too, Coach, but who is the funniest guy in the locker room?
I got to answer.
My answer. Ooh, I'm going to let you go first.
Jacob Lacates.
That's a sleeper. I wouldn't think about that. That's a sleeper.
That's the number one answer.
Why is he funny, though? You got to explain why.
He's always got something to say. Like, you'll do something, and he's just he's chirping. Always just little sneak something in there when you least expect it, and he, like, walks off. It's can't really see when it's coming, but he's sitting there loaded up, ready to go.
It's a good brand of funny.
Yeah, well, it's a good brand of funny.
For me, probably Bryce Dixon. Very authentic funny. It's not a try to make somebody laugh funny. It's just kind of natural. So I think that's why I'll probably go Bryce Dixon.
Do you have a different one? Or maybe one on the coaching staff?
You know, I'm not obviously – we purposely don't try to go in the locker room. That's their thing most of the time. And so there's some guys that are that have done things in front of us that are funny, like Eli Sisson.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one. There's some guys that you don't view that are, and then like I'll mention Eli again, and he surprised me because he was very quiet, and then he comes out and he has this great, basically a talent show, and he does this and makes fun of the coaches, and it was pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, I would have to. Our offensive coordinator, Willie Korn, he does not do it. He's matured, so he won't do it as much anymore. But he can really mimic anybody and talk just like them and do all those things. And so he doesn't do it often, but when he does, it's really good.
I think he needs to be part of the talent show next year.
You know what? We've tried every year, and he won't do it. But I think he can do any of these guys. He could probably get down just like that and talk just like them and have the mannerisms. He's one of those guys.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's
okay, on the opposite end of that question, who's too serious and needs to lighten up a little bit?
Wow.
That's a good question. Who do you got?
Wow, that's a
You're
great
all just
question.
Hilarious, so then.
Man. Our offensive line room's got some characters.
I would probably go with sometimes Jamal, maybe.
Jamal Miles.
A little too serious.
He's a little too serious.
Yeah. Go Jamal Miles.
He's tightly wound.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, very soft-spoken guy. You know, sometimes he may be a little too locked in. But that's everybody's different.
He's in the locker right beside me, and I got to get him to smile. Like I get him to, like, just get a little chuckle. But, all right, Jamal. Nice. We're good. See you later.
We're done here. Right. I've done my job. Yeah. Another question I always love to ask our student athlete guests on our show, because you are student first, athlete second, is what you guys are studying right now outside of the locker room, in the classroom, and what your aspirations are for later on in your careers after football's done.
Yeah, so for me, I just graduated with my undergrad in business administration. I graduated a year early. I will be getting my master's in the fall. And after football, I will be getting into real estate. And also, I want to take over my parents' businesses. So my mom owns a pharmacy, and my dad also has his own contracting business. So eventually take over the ropes of those two.
Awesome. I'm working on my undergrad in business administration as well. And when I get done, I want to get into project management or some type of construction.
Awesome. Okay. I have one final question for you here before I kick us out of this room. And I love asking our guests where your favorite place to eat is in your town. So we call this segment CUSA Eats. If I'm visiting Lynchburg, Virginia, I've had the pleasure of being there several times, but some of our fan bases may not have been there yet. So where do I need to go grab a bite in Lynchburg?
I'm going County Smoke. I don't know about everybody.
County Smoke.
Yeah, that's
the number one answer, I feel like.
Around there, I have a feeling.
Depends on what you want, man. But if you want a good burger, I think you should try to go to Corner Burger.
Okay.
It's out in Forest. And it's a gourmet style burger type, I guess, and different ones. I think that's a really good burger spot to hit there. And we could probably talk off camera. I got a bunch of them I could recommend. So that's a good spot to hit. Iaco County Smoke, the barbecue is really good. I think Market on Main is a great breakfast lunch spot there. Yeah. That's close to campus.
First Watch.
That's a great spot. But the Market on Main, there's a local one that they do a good job. And there's about three or four local ones there that do really nice. And there's a great Mexican restaurant in the mall called Papagayo.
Okay.
That I think is legit Mexican. So
that one was out of left.
Any of y'all, if y'all want to toss Coach Chabell some, come buy a new commercial, I'll do it. Any of us mentioned.
Okay, the plug has been made. Well, Coach Chadwell, Brylan, Aaron, thank you guys so much for joining us here on CUSA Insider. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have fun with it. And we look forward to seeing the Flames on the field this season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Huge thank yous to everyone from the Liberty program who joined us today to talk about the Flames' upcoming 2025 season. Some exciting stuff that is about to get underway, Jessica. I cannot believe we are just over, I don't know, a week away from football season starting. That's crazy.
I know. What is it? Probably like 8 days?
Yeah. So WKU and Sam Houston play on August 23rd, which is, I mean, that is so crazy.
What, week zero conference game? Have we ever had that?
I think we have. I think it's been, I know we've had week one conference games. Week zero conference game. This could be the first time. I don't know. I'll have to go back and check that. It's going to be a wild one. And two teams, too, that finished the CUSA season last year near the top. Obviously, Sam Houston has a new coach this year. WKU is going to have a new quarterback this year. So we don't really know what that's going to look like, but fans should tune in next week because we will be talking to both of those programs as we lead up into their week zero conference matchup on Tuesday, August 19th. We're going to have Sam Houston's preview episode live. And then on the 21st, we're going to have WKU's preview episode live. But before that, you're back with me on another episode on Friday.
I know. I'm only here for two episodes.
I'm sorry. You'll be back.
That's basic.
You'll be back. Don't worry. Basketball season is not that far away. So you'll be back.
I don't know. I always say time flies. It'll be a while. You'll see Josh in here talk about football. But I mean,
yes,
he's the expert. I am no expert. I do love all of these teams. Very excited to just even cover Liberty and UTEP. I've been learning so much.
Mm-hmm.
More than I did at Football Media Day because there's so much research and preparation that goes into that.
Yes.
But just talking to these beat writers, they give us a different perspective, and I just love that we do this.
I know. It's going to be fun. So we're talking to Brett Bloomquist from UTEP. He'll be live with us on Friday. So that's the 15th of August, and we've got a lot more coming up. We're rounding it all out after our week zero game with Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. We saved them for last because there's a lot of unknowns on those two teams. We needed to go through all of fall camp to be able to figure out what was going on there. So those are our last two preview episodes, and then the season is fully underway. It's going to be a wild ride. But if you would like to make sure that you are catching every single one of these preview episodes, be sure that you are following CUSA Insider on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And then you can find these full video episodes of the podcast on our YouTube page. Just search Conference USA on YouTube, and the CUSA Insider Podcast is its own little playlist there right at the top of the page. And you can come and join us and watch the episodes. But if you are still one of our audio only listeners, we are still giving you some love. You can listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And as well as that, you can also find us and email us anytime you need to if you have a question, a recommendation, a concern, as long as they're worded nicely. I'm very sensitive. So just find us and email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. Please send me some emails. I haven't gotten any in a while, and I want to know what questions you want us asking these beat writers. So shoot us an email if you have a second. All right, everybody, that is it for us today. Jam-packed week of college football previews again this week. Looking forward to getting the CUSA football season underway. But that's it from us today. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph. Thank you so much to Jess Radford for joining us, and we are signing off.